a story for you. Good morning.
Oh, that's really loud.
Good morning. How are you, children, this morning? Are you having a happy Sabbath? It's very rainy outside, isn't it? But it's dry and warm in here, isn't it? So that's good. You know, I'm just very thankful that we can come to church even when it is raining. I saw a picture once of some people going to church, and their church was flooded, and all of them were sitting on the benches, and they had water almost up to their knees. We don't have any water in here this morning, so we can be very, very thankful, can't we? I have a story for you, and some of you may have heard part of this story last Sabbath evening, but I'm going to tell it again because I think the only children that were there were my children and Malia. Weren't you there? Yeah. So one time, we had moved to an old farmhouse out in the country, and my husband was working, and so that left most of the unpacking to me, which was fine. And as I was working, I was taking the boxes and just throwing them out the door. And I figured I'd just go out there later, break down the boxes and take care of them, because I was trying to unpack and get settled as soon as possible. Because back then, my husband was a pastor, and when you're a pastor, do you know what that means? Anyone can come to your house anytime, and you have to be ready. And so I wanted to be ready, so I was trying to hurry, and I was just throwing those boxes. As soon as I'd empty them, I would throw them out the door. Well, on the boxes was some tape and a little tiny lizard about this long. He was blue, and he had yellow and green stripes down the back. He got stuck on the tape. And somebody who was with me said, "Oh, the poor guy, maybe we should take a shovel and put him out of his misery." And I said, "No, we can't do that. That would be terrible." And I was crying, and I was so very sad for this little lizard because I felt very responsible for the lizard being in trouble because I was the one that had carelessly just left the tape out there on the boxes and threw them out the door. So I started to pray, and I said, Lord, please show me how to help this little lizard. He was all stuck. His whole back was stuck. His tail was stuck. One foot, he had been trying to bite it off of the tape, and so it was bloody and sad. And I started praying. I was like, Lord, show me how to help this little lizard get off this tape. And then I thought, you know, oil takes the stickiness away, right? Okay, so I went inside, and I got a Q-tip, and I got some oil in a little cup, and I went out, and I started talking to the lizard, and I said, little friend, I'm here to help you. And I started taking that oil and rubbing it along the lizard's back and along his foot, and he started thrashing around, and he was getting himself more stuck, so I started putting that oil over the other parts of the tape so that if he moved, he wouldn't get restuck, right? And so I kept doing this, and I was working tirelessly. And the other person was saying, I don't think that's going to work. And I said, yes, it's going to work. I'm going to save him. It's going to work. And so I kept rubbing that oil, and pretty soon he was more and more unstuck. And at first, the little lizard was biting at me. But then he realized that I was trying to help. And so he stopped biting at me. And he was letting me do it. And I'm sure it did hurt because he was bleeding a little bit. But I eventually got him all free. And you know, he didn't run away right away. He stayed and he looked at me like, you're the strangest big creature I've ever seen. You're not trying to eat me and you're trying to help me. But it was like he was saying thank you. And then he scurried off. And you know, a couple weeks later, I saw him and he was all healed up and he was fine. And I could tell it was him because he had a little scar on his back. But you know, this made me think this morning how we are stuck on sin, aren't we? And there are some sins that's very hard to stop doing, right? Maybe it might be poking your sister or your brother. Maybe it might be disobeying mommy or daddy. Maybe it might be responding in an irritated, angry way. All these are sins that we can get so stuck in that we can't get ourselves off, can we? And some people say, well, maybe we better just put them out of their misery. They're just completely stuck on sin. They're not worth anything. But Jesus says, oh, no. Oh, no. This person is so precious to me, and I can take the oil of the Holy Spirit and get them off of the sin. And I can keep them from getting stuck in the sin again. And do you know what? We may carry scars from all those sins that we might have been attached to before. But you know what? We heal with the help of Jesus. And we can survive. And so I wanted you to remember the little lizard. And remember that Jesus can help you to be unstuck on sin. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing me to have this experience so many years ago. And I ask that you will help us to remember that no matter how hard of a time we're having getting unstuck from sin, we really can't do it on our own. We need your help. And we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our lives, to take the stickiness away of sin. Help us to see it as it is and to hate it just as much as you do. And Lord, I ask that you will free us completely. Don't just free our back, but free every part of us, Lord, so that none of us is stuck to sin. And I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may go back to your seats.
really nice when you know how, isn't it? It is time for the morning prayer. If those with blue cards, if you get them filled out, bring them forward. And always take a blank one with you when you go home. You can always be prepared next time, okay? And have it filled out prior to this moment. Okay, let us start with the morning prayer.
Cast all my cares upon you. I lay all the burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, upon you.
Oh, Heavenly Father, it is dark and dreary outside, but we're inside, warm of your love in our hearts. We pray that we continue to be a witness to others that are down and out. Heavenly Father, we ask for this moment to lift up praises to you and thank you for being with us through this past week. I'm thankful for your watch care over us, keeping us from harm and danger. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with those that are sick this morning. Those who have lost a loved one, be with the Jameson family. They lost Vicky. Please comfort them. Be with my wife. She is at the emergency room and running a fever. We don't know why, but we pray that she'll return and feeling much better. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with the speaker this morning, Omari, and that each one here is listening to the words that have been given to him. He's had this subject on his heart, and he wanted to express it all to you and share with you. We pray that what he speaks on today will be building blocks for our character to come up higher in our walk upward and onward in your name. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Thankful we are to have this time to worship together, aren't we? Who knows what the offering is for today? Conference Advance. Excellent. Aren't you glad to be a part of a church that is organized so that we can have a unified way of paying our pastors and our teachers and our Bible workers and taking care of the needs of our communities of which we're a part? Singing, praying, reading of scripture, and preaching are all parts of Sabbath worship. Brother Leroy Froom, a Seventh-day Adventist minister and writer, reminds us that something else is also a part of worship. He has written, "Rightly understood and practiced, tithing is an act of worship as essential as prayer and praise. Worship is the giving of self to God. Froome's emphasis on giving of self may surprise those who think that stewardship is just returning money to God. Stewardship, indeed, is giving of yourself in worship to God. Today, when you and I return our tithes with our offerings, let us remember that we are giving ourselves to God. After all, Jesus Christ gave himself for us, so we are faithfully following his example of servant leadership. The offering today is for Conference Advance. The Conference Advance supports local conference-wide programs that benefit all churches, including Three Angels Church in Wichita. The offerings will wait on you. The ushers will wait on you at this time. Will you stand with me as we sing the doxology and present our gifts? Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of including us in the worship hour this morning. We pray that you'll accept our gifts, accept our tithes, and please accept us as we give ourselves to you for service, for worship, and for living in the coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Happy Sabbath. Today our scripture reading will be Matthew 10:1. And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease.
Let us all stand up. Okay, find somebody that you haven't talked to today and tell him God loves him. Good? And all the time. That was a tactic just to loosen you up. That way we cannot get into this real serious. Praise God. I was not supposed to preach today. Brian Byrow was supposed to preach. There's a situation that happened that he had to be in Green Bay, and that's where he's at. So I was talking to Dan, Brother Dan Schlatter, and he wasn't supposed to do the call for offering. He just got asked 5 minutes prior to us doing this. But God calls us to be minutemen, in season and out of season. Praise God. Let us pray. Father who art in heaven, we come before you again, asking for power. Asking for power from your Holy Spirit, that way I can speak what you have put in my mouth and in my mind. Please get rid of self, and may you, only you, be glorified and be revealed, Father. Open our hearts, open our minds, and let us just be receptive to the word that you have given us today and this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen. In case you missed it during the announcements, We made an announcement that next Sabbath is communion. So put that in mind as you go through about your week, this coming week, and prepare yourself that we will have communion next Sabbath. The sermon topic for today, those who have read the bulletin, the sermon topic for today is tried and proved. I want to switch it, but to make it continuous. So tried and proven. So it's continually being tried and being proven. And what is this? I got this inspiration by listening to C.D. Brooks. And he said his mama used to write in scripture texts in the Bible every time she went through something, and then she claimed a promise. She marked on her Bible T and P, tried and proved. That's the kind of sort of God that we are serving. No matter what, his word is true, and he shall come. This morning, our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And my whole idea, I was inspired last Sabbath by Pastor. Pastor's talk last Sabbath was about spiritual development, how we can grow as Christians. That was not his topic, but the sense of, after listening to the whole talk, I felt like that was a really good talk about spiritual development, whereby how are you going to go into the next year? I got inspired so much that everything that I wrote was about Christians, and most especially about Adventists in their ministry going into next year. Most of us here are involved with the church one way or the other. You're either singing, you're either doing the children's stories, you're either teaching, you're either teaching other people to sing, leading Sabbath school, you're doing the food pantry, you're doing God's closet, you're doing the audio ministry. There's so many different ministries that is happening here. I want you to think about next year, and then think about how you're even going to grow even closer, to have an even closer walk with God for next year. 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 2 years ago, all the companies, they all had a 2020 vision, right? So most companies, you hear that this is the 2020 vision for this company. But make it a point to be 2020 is going to be the year that I'm going to be even closer with my God, despite, and I'm highlighting that, despite whatever it is that you're going through. Just try to go into this next year in your personal ministry. If you do not have a ministry, there's something here for you as well to get out. So don't sit back and be like, well, I don't have anything. Find something, or start praying for somebody who has a ministry that is ministry by itself, and see how God will help you. Amen? Okay. So let's dive in. Matthew 10, 1, and he says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. In the book of Matthew, this is actually the first time that we are hearing about the 12 disciples and them being purposed. There's nowhere else before this, the whole 10 chapters, that the 12 disciples have been called into action. So this is the very first beginning. It is important to note that the apostles, they were not apostles at this point. So do not miss that. Most of us think about ministry and then we are waiting. We are waiting for something, or we are waiting for us to be ready to start that ministry. My whole plan today is to show you what God is expecting of us and how he's going to empower us into ministry. That way we can have a more fulfilling year. That way we can have a more fulfilling spiritual walk with him. I want us to look at this text in a different way. Because rather than this man being called whenever they were ready, they were not ready at all. They were not a finished product at this point at all. And it's not because that they were good men, because we are going to see that here in a minute. But they were men who are weak. They were men who are in different forms of ways in their spiritual walks. In verse 2, if we continue onwards with our reading, it says, "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, there was Simeon, who is called Peter, Andrew and his brother James, and the son Andrew and his brother James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. Verse 3, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Libius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." I'm going to start from the bottom name, Simeon the Canaanite. The name Canaanite is attached to him, just that way you cannot confuse him with Simon Peter. We know this guy, other than the Canaanite, there's also highlights of him called a zealot. He was so zealous for God or his beliefs that he was fanatical to a point. So you can see the kind of character this person already starts off as. He's a fanatic. He's somebody who already believes so much to an extreme about his beliefs. There's James and John. Most people know them as the sons of thunder. And I'm trying to impress upon you to look at what we are trying to do here and ask yourself, how do you fit in into the whole situation? So we have talked about Simeon, the Canaanite. We have talked about James and John, who are called the sons of thunder. And where do we find this? We find this in Luke chapter 9, verse 54, whereby Jesus was going somewhere to the Samaritans, and then they refused him entry. James and John got so infuriated. These were people who were short-tempered like that. They had a high temper, and what happened is they wanted to call thunder, or they wanted to call fire from heaven. How are you feeling this morning? So these people were hot-blooded. And then there's Matthew, the publican, right? This person was a tax collector. So Matthew, we can remember the story of Jesus. When Matthew got called, what did he do? He invited Jesus to go to his house, right? And what did the Sadducees and the Pharisees do? The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they questioned, why is this person, Jesus, eating with tax collectors, Matthew being a tax collector, and sinners? Are you seeing yourself in the picture yet? There's Thomas. And that's Thomas Heath. Thomas Heath, the one who just did the morning prayer, not him. But there was Thomas, who was a doubter. He doubted even his own mama. Like he was just a doubter. This is a person who, after Jesus' resurrection, he could not believe anything up until he himself would prove it for his own self. And well, of course, we have Judas. That's a whole sermon in itself. We are not going to go into that. But what I'm trying to impress upon you this morning was, in all these 12 people, this was the beginning of their ministries. Don't forget that. This is the beginning of their ministries. I want you guys to follow me and see a journey that's going to transpire here. This was the beginning of their ministries. A white-collar criminal, right? Matthew, right? Two people who was really high-tempered, the sons of thunder, right? Are you seeing yourself in the picture? Right.
And then you think about it, the Simeon, the Canaanite, somebody who was overzealous, somebody who was a fanatic. And then there's Judas, somebody who betrayed Christ. But this was the beginning of their ministry. And then they will be discipling Christ, the greatest teacher ever to walk on earth, Jesus Christ. They will be his apprentice for 3.5 years. Jesus calls us to ministry because of what he knows about us. I'm going to say that again. Jesus calls us into ministry because of what he knows about us. It is not because of our merits that we are so good that God has given you something to do for the church. Praise God. Are we all together? Yes? Yes? Okay. So Jesus calls us, all of us. Jesus called the 12 disciples because he knew each and everyone's fault. And he knew if I use this ministry and give this person this burden. You guys are not getting it. If I get this ministry and then put this burden on this person, it will lead him into prayer. It will grow his faith. But we are not, normally as human beings, we look at a finished product. That's how we are trying to look at ourselves, and we are not. I want to impress you. The elder preaching, he is far from being a finished product at all. The greeter at the door, far from being a finished product. But God has put that burden into their lives. That way he can do something in him and through him. Because you can see from just the scripture reading that we just read from 10 chapter verse 1 till 4, we can see that still with all the issues that they were given power, do not miss that part. All these people had all these different issues, but still, despite the issues that they had, they were given power over demons to cast them out. Being zealous, being overzealous, being thieves, being crooks, a white-collar criminal, they were given power to start their ministry. I've been itching with this, someone. Like, it's just, since Tuesday, I knew that I was going to go. I couldn't wait till we finished the special music. I was like, Louis, I was talking to Louis. My leg was just shaking. I wanted to go, you know, because it's time for us to understand that we are here about God's business and we are doing the close work. We are about to finish what is about to happen to this whole world. So when you look at it, we have to arm ourselves. We have to have backbones to know that everything is not going to be the way we expect it, but we know who's by our side, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you could turn there with me, we're not going to have the screen here for a little bit. We're just only going to have the screen for one slide maybe. And the reason being is these things, they can be a mess. Not because of you, because of me. I don't know how to operate them, and then it'll just make a fool out of me. So I like us to open our Bibles and then just hear the pages turn. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this is Paul. Paul understood to the letter. Paul really understood the whole balance of the stuff. I want you guys to listen. The stuff that he had inherited and the ministry that he had in hand. This is Paul. He had so many books that he had written in the Bible, but let us read. And from verse 26 and 27. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight. Not as one who beats the air, but this is the really important part. Verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it under submission, lest I have preached to others, and I myself shall become disqualified. I keep my body under. This is a person who really understood that he, being the person of the kind of influence and the platform that God had given him, knew that he was a sinner. And at the same time knew that he was doing a good work and saving a lot of people. But in the midst of all this, remember, God gave you a ministry not because of how good you are. He gave you a ministry to work on you so that way you cannot be missing out in heaven. Praise God. So that's the whole point. I want you to think about your year 2020 and the kind of ministry that you want to get into. To me, I don't know about you, but any sort of ministry, or even just reading what we just read from 1 Corinthians 9, it is just showing and leading us to be dependent more on God because of our own self, rather than us depending on ourselves. So that's the whole point of ministry. It is to depend and all just by everything. Depend into God that he's the one who's working and he's working on me to help other people. Whereas when he's working on me, I'm slowly and slowly and gradually growing. It's been a long year. A lot of ups and downs. Believe it or not, this is the last Sabbath of 2019. You know, a lot of us are involved in different ways or in different ministries at the church. You know, and the thing about church or Christianity as a whole, nobody told us that this thing was going to be easy. But maybe you have been discouraged throughout what you're doing, and then you've been discouraged. And then you've chosen to fall back. You do not have the support of the church because you keep trying up ideas, you know. I'm just now learning this. Me being young and really, really energetic, I get really excited, and then I always keep throwing ideas to pastor. And then he's like, hold on, Omari. But then last Sabbath he told me, most of the ideas that I was trying to bring, they were costing so much money, you know. So he's like, just wait, you know. So to some people, that can be discouraging as well, you know. But Satan is not giving up, you know. He's constantly trying to beat down the saints of God, and especially in the remnant church. He's not worried about all these other different churches, let me tell you the truth. It's in here that he wants to frustrate its members, get members fighting against each other, get people jealous about other people's ministries, and then we are not growing. But what is God? What does Jesus pray about? I pray that they might be one. If we can figure that out, the enemy does not have power in a growing church. You're about to give up. Or maybe if you're blaming other people, if you look at yourself, you have personal trials and temptations, and you're being bombarded left to right, and then you're wondering, how can I get a victory? That way I can be of better service. God is not requiring that from you. God is just requiring a heart that is willing, and then he will purpose it, and then we'll fix that. Before you know it, you will be complete. How do you balance ministry and personal life in this coming year, 2020? Samuel. In the book of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, in my Bible, it is highlighted. In the book of 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 13, this is a balance that I think Paul is really doing a really incredible work, whereby he's saying, no temptation Think about all your ministry, or if you think that you're not ready because you're just so weak that you feel that you're really not equipped to do something for the church. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such that is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, right? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. This is telling us that we do not have an excuse. Why? There's a text here from Spirit of Prophecy, and we are all going to read it, and we can read it all aloud together. Okay? Let's go. Okay. We're just all going to start, and then we don't finish. When I say our, we all just go, okay? Let's try it again. Our Heavenly Father measures and weighs every trial before He permits it to come upon the believer. He considers the circumstance and the strength of the one who is to stand under the proving and the test of God. And He never permits the temptation to be greater than the capacity of the resistance. That's how I feel. When I just read that, that's how I feel. I feel like, what did I just read? He has cushioned it. He has grabbed that temptation, weighed it. And then guess what? He knows you're going to do it. You can take it. You have the stuff because He knows you. He will not allow anything that is bigger than you to come upon you. So you don't have an excuse. Maybe we can leave this here for a little bit. It looks nice, right? Praise God. It's a beautiful, beautiful text. The most astonishing thing that about this text that we just read in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, I'm just going to read it one more time. That way you can see that. Because what you see, we just read the Bible and then we went to the Spirit of Prophecy. We go to the Bible and then we go to the Spirit of Prophecy. We go to the Bible and then we go to the Spirit of Prophecy. Don't miss that, right? It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such that is as common to man. But God is faithful. So that's the part I want to really zoom in on. God is faithful. This is incredible stuff right here. God is faithful. So you have an excuse that you are not going into ministry. You have an excuse that this ministry is too hard. You have an excuse that somebody is bugging you and you don't have the capacity to contain him. Maybe that is a way of God. He's doing something in you. It's not about you and it's not about the ministry. You know, it's about God and Him being faithful. God is faithful. Who will not allow to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. When trials come, it is not a condemnation. Most people think that they're so weak or it is unfair or unjust. It's not a condemnation, but rather is a vote of confidence. Did you catch what I said? It's a vote of confidence from God on who you are. You know, I know what you can do and I know what you cannot do, but I'm giving you this trial. That way you grow. It's a vote of confidence from the Father because He has cushioned it. He has weighed it and then He has cushioned it. And He knows that you have the stuff to get over that trial or temptation. Whatever it is that you're trying to, I'm really glad about the children's story. You know, there's a lot of people who are struggling with sin. They're trying so hard to get over that sin. but you can do it. That's what the Bible and the spirit of prophecy is telling us. We do not have an excuse. We are not a finished product by all means. There's that aspect. And then there's another aspect of being dumb. I'm sorry. But you ask yourself, right? What about all the dumb stuff that I've done to bring upon myself this suffering that I'm going through? Remember, my whole point of my talk today is to show you how we can get closer to Christ and how we can have even better. Because it has been tried and proved over and over and over and over again. It has been tried and proved. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Somebody else already has gone through it. The answer is not all about you, like I said. It's about God's faithfulness. You know? Because God, and I'm talking about me now, God, called you when you are a terrorist. Remember those brothers of the sons of Zebedee? They were thunderous. They were terrorists. You know, the zealot himself, Simeon the Canaanite, he was a terrorist. There were people who were really terrorizing other believers because of their beliefs, of their tempers. But God, who is faithful, went all the way down and called a terrorist. He went all the way down and called a white-collar criminal. He went all the way down. He called a gangbanger. I'm sorry, what? He called a gangbanger. God went all the way down and called somebody who was doubting, the doubting Thomas. Because why? He wants to do something in them and then bless other people. Don't forget that. Keep my body under. He wants to do something in them, that way they can help other people. God does incredible things with sinners. And to prove it, there's an incredible, incredible text in the Bible, and it comes from the book of 2 Kings, if we could all turn there. 2 Kings 9. Oh, I'm sorry, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 9. I want you to think about all the ministries that you're trying to do. I want you to think about this one ministry that you have, or the kind of work that you are trying to do, or prepare yourself into the next year. All the challenges that you face. Probably you don't have enough money to do that. You don't have enough time. You have children at home. Maybe you are a credible teacher. That's my wife, and I know I'm going to get in trouble. But think about all these different things. But then again, God meets you where you are, and then he gives you a ministry. Don't think that this ministry is because of your merits, just like we have discussed before. God gets you. And all your mess, all the stuff that you come with, all the stuff that you have inherited from your parents or your circumstance around you. God gets you where you at, and then he gives you something. The whole point of that is to teach you and to create you anew, right? When God decides to go down and get whatever kind of sinner that he's getting, it's because he has claimed you. Did you hear me? God has claimed you. God knows you from when you were born. God knew you even before. So he already knows, you know what? I'm going to go and get them already. So you have already been claimed. So the thing is, you have to decide from your heart when you're being claimed that he's going to keep you. So that way you can be claimed and kept, right? He doesn't mean that he approves it. All the stupidity that we are doing, it does not mean for a single instant that he approves of all the stupidity or all the dumb things that we do to bring sin upon ourselves. It's only because he loves you. Each and every one of us, Jesus loves us with such an incredible amount of love that we cannot even comprehend. That's the only reason he can go and get somebody who's so bad and bring him and give him a ministry. This is the only reason he can go and get somebody who's so bad and start doing a good work in him or her. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4. This is God talking to Solomon. This is the second time. In my Bible, the topic goes God's second appearance to Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4. And it reads, "Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded, and if you keep my statutes and judgments." Wait a minute, there's something wrong with this text, right? There's something incredibly wrong with this text. This is Solomon being talked to. God is talking to Solomon. Solomon grew up in his father's house. So he knows. You guys have children. Most of you have children or have people who are around your lives. They know what sort of a mess you are. Right? Solomon this is the measure of integrity. David. The lying, murderous, adulterous man. I don't know about you, but I don't know. I don't know what God is doing here. You know, like he says, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, like your father David, somebody who was constantly lying, somebody who was a murderer, somebody, like we can make a list and then we cannot finish what David was doing. We are talking about the dumb stuff that we do in our lives. There's nothing that you can do that God cannot unsee. Remember the statement that is here. It's okay, we took it off. But God has weighed all the trials. God has measured all the trials. And then, so what does that do? He cushions everything that you cannot bear. And then he lays it upon you, right? But there's something really remarkable that happens. When you look at that text that we just read in 1 Kings 9. There's something really incredible that happens. Him cushioning and him weighing all this, there's a transaction in heaven that is happening. There's a transaction in heaven that's happening and is a complete transaction. All the books in heaven are wiped clean. You guys are missing the point. This person who was a lying, murderous, and adulterous man is the measure of integrity and uprightness. All that is wiped clean. Clean through the blood of the Christ. Through the blood and only the blood of Christ. When, ladies and gentlemen, when you think about it just for a second, Jesus Christ, he is able to save, right? He is able to save. He is mighty to save. We sing about this stuff every single day. He has the power to save. Look at David. Think about your circumstance and you just know where you are. God does not talk about the past. All he sees is the blood of Jesus Christ. He looks at you, and Jesus said, put it on me, because of what happened in Calvary. Look at me. Don't look at him. And the transaction, like I said, is complete, which means every record is wiped clean. Praise God. We have a God that is all so awesome. We have a God that is all love. He is not here to constantly just check up on us and tell us what we are doing wrong. That's what the enemy wants us to believe. Well, in this new coming year of the 2020, we want us to go in confidence. We have to go into this year in confidence, knowing that God is more willing to save you than to see you die. The power of the cross is so efficacious. There's something that nobody else in this world can do. That's why we can claim it. Even in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Just that way you can understand that I'm not making this stuff. I'm just reading the Bible, y'all. You know, like I'm just reading and telling you what I made up in my notes, right? But it's all flowing and it's all just coming to a point, right? And verse 21, it said, but if a wicked man, but if a wicked man turns away from his sins, which he has committed, keep all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. I continue reading. Verse 22, and then he goes, none of the transgressions, that is sin, none of his transgressions, which he has committed, shall be remembered, wiped clean. This is the transaction that I'm talking about. None of his transgressions, which he has committed, shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. The power of the cross. The power of the cross. What does God say? I won't remember it. I won't discuss it. It is finished. Completely wiped clean. We have a God that we can go in confidence into the next year. I do not know what excuse that you guys have. We don't have even one single excuse of not trying to find something to do or be discouraged and pull back, because it has been weighed, it has been cushioned, and then it has been delivered to you on a silver platter. Eat it up. And then grow. In closing, we're going to spend some time in John, one of the apostles. We started with Matthew, and then we listed out all these apostles, you know, all these disciples. And there's something funny that's happening in the book of John. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we're going all the way till chapter 13. When you read this, the good thing about education is the emphasis on repetition. That's why we have four gospels. You know, it is repeat, repeat, repeat again. And then we learn like that. We learn like that. You compare this chapter with Luke. Do not turn there, but you compare this chapter with Luke 22. And verse 15, I will just read it real fast. It says, then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So think about it. So this is, we just started off with him appointing these people. And then 3.5 years later, he's about to go to the cross. Right? So they've been with him and they started their ministry whenever they started their ministry. And then this is the very next, on the very last thing that is about to happen to these people before they even continue with their ministry. They've been apprentices. They've been following Jesus, the greatest teacher who ever walked into this earth. Christ, right? So they're discipling. They're following Jesus. They're seeing all these miracles that Jesus is doing, right? And then it's the Last Supper. Even Jesus, the text that I just read, that he has that desire, is when they are talking. They are talking, and then they had Jesus had washed his feet, right? Washed their feet. In John chapter 13, remember when they are having all this, after the ordinance of humility, the two brothers, they even brought their mama over to the Last Supper, right? And then she goes and then she says, maybe my son, yeah, they did not get what Jesus was trying to tell them the whole time. And then he's like, maybe one can take the right and then the other one can sit on your left. 3.5 years of being taught, but they still were not getting it. They still had the same tendencies. You do not have an excuse of sitting back and not doing anything because you're waiting to be complete, because it's a lifetime process. It's a lifetime process. So he's sitting there after washing people's feet. There's another person in the same table. They're still talking. I want you guys to follow me. He has 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. What is your excuse? Okay. If you think this stuff is incredible, and the best thing about it is all right here. It's all right here, chapter 13. And we are going to start from verse 36. So we have this person who has 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. And then we have these two brothers with their mama asking for a seat across Jesus. And then just to make things even more interesting, and then in verse 36, and then this is Peter now. This is Peter, Simon Peter. He goes. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? I wish I had a King James version. Let me find it real fast. A King James version. He goes, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered. Like he's asking, where are you going, Lord, right? And then Jesus, I think Jesus was a comedian, but he was just so straightforward that he was saying things in a straight voice that they were jokes, but they were not jokes. But it's so hilarious what's going on. This is verse 36, and then you can follow me. It says, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. Did you guys get that? Because he knew Peter was not ready. Think about your ministry and then you waiting to be ready, right? But Jesus told him, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. I want you guys not to miss it. It is really important. We are concluding here in a little bit. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. But who asked you, Peter? I didn't tell you to do that, right? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered. And then he answered and then he said, will thou lay down your life for my sake? Remember, Jesus knows each and every person before he gives them the ministry, right? Will thou lay down thy life for my sake? And then I'm just glad it's Jesus who's talking, because if it was me, I know how I would have responded to Peter. Jesus goes and says, verily, verily. Jesus goes, verily, verily. I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me 3 times. Comes the punchline, right? In the Greek Bible, there's no divisions in the Bible. That means, in the Greek Bible, are you guys ready? In the Greek Bible, there's no chapter 14. It's a continuation, right? So the same person who was just being told, you are not ready, this is the very next thing that he was being told. Chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's home, or in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's telling the person who's going, who is just about to deny him three times. I go because he had asked a question. He goes, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you with whatever you're struggling with, I will come back. I will come back again. And then when you're ready, I will receive you to myself, and that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Powerful. If you missed it, come see me later and then I will explain it to you. We do not have a single excuse not to get into this new year, and there's this coming year equipped with confidence that Jesus is walking with us. Did you guys enjoy that song that the young people sang? I'm going to call them again, that way they can sing again. Young people, come on. This stuff is not hard. As the young people come, every person who sang the special music, come. The only thing that God is asking is for you to allow him to do a work in you, right? So the only option that we have is to allow Jesus to walk with us, right? Let us sing this song. Do not drag your feet. That's why you're young. Hurry up. Come on. We have 5 minutes till 12:30. We are finishing this thing. And we'll finish, we sing. And then if you're impressed, to come forward and pray. That way we can get into this new year with a different attitude and with a different outlook in ministry. Because it's not about you. It's about God and him being faithful. Amen? Listen to this song. Put the song up here for us, please.
Jesus to walk with me.
If you feel, stand right here. If you feel that this message has touched you and you want to recommit your life, let us pray about it. Come. Come. We are going to have a better new year. We are going to have a deeper spiritual walk. We are going to have an even more abundant life. So long as we let Jesus take the lead. We are deciding that we will follow the Lamb wherever it goes.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads. Our kind and heavenly Father, what a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to be called your sons and daughters. We come before you, Father, sinners. We come before you, Father, weak. At times we feel defeated. We come before you, Father, struggling with sin. We come before you, Father, being pounded and bombarded with a foe, with an enemy that is powerful. But then we are glad, Father, that through the merits of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, you accept us just as we are. We want to thank you for every single thing that you have done for us throughout the whole week, throughout the whole year that we've had this year. And going forward into the year 2020, may you look at each and every person who's seated. Look at each and every person who has come forward. May you pour out your spirit, Father. Pour out your spirit in an abundant way so that way we can have that closer walk with you. We want to thank you for this Sabbath day. We want to thank you for your spirit. And most especially, Father, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with each and every person who's represented here today. Pour out a blessing to them. I want to especially pray for Brian and his family. You know the circumstance that's going on here or there. Continue being with him. We want to lift up our pastor. We want to lift our pastor, Bigger Dragon. Give him power, Lord. It is the people who are at the top that the enemy is not most impressed with. So he's going to bombard them with all sorts of difficult things. So we ask, Father, for a better year. We want to lift up each and every parent in this place. Each and every grandparent in this place. You know all our children are suffering. You know what sort of kind of life that the enemy has bombarded them here in this country. Some children are not in church. And that is some of our biggest worries. But we leave all of that because you are the only one who has a plan. You are the only one who has a plan. And you know the end from the very beginning. We want to recommit our lives. We want to declare to you, Father, that you can take control, take possession of our lives, and charge us forward. We pray this, trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen. We can all stand for our closing song, number 524.
Jesus, precious Jesus.
You may be seated.